In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text, our epistle reading from Romans, the 8th chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, did you catch the list of things that can be against us? Tribulation, persecution, distress, famine, nakedness, sword, war, danger. We're like sheep ready to be slaughtered. Those things can shake your confidence. Those things can make you wonder just how far away God's love actually is. Who can be against us? Well, lots of things and lots of people. Less than a month ago, I read a report by Global Christian Relief that 3,490 Christians have been killed in Nigeria this year alone by radical Islamist terrorists because they, the Christians, would refuse to convert to Islam. In Syria, North Korea, and Sudan, Christians' churches are being burned and their homes are being demolished. If you are simply a Christian, persecution, tribulation, where's God's love? War, danger, sword. An airliner with almost 300 people shot out of the sky. Surface air missile. It takes a week for bodies to go back to their loved ones. Here in the United States, the owner of Chick-fil-A takes a stand on traditional marriage, one man and one woman, and says the restaurant is going to be closed on Sunday so Christians can go to church with their families. And he is vilified in the media and social media. In Colorado and California, bakeries are sued for refusing to bake custom cakes celebrating gender transition and gay marriage. And all sorts of other groups just attack. But sometimes the persecution or distress or tribulation doesn't come from other people or those who are against us so obviously. Sometimes it's just a disaster. A fire at St. Philip's in Hankinson. A 131-mile-an-hour wind gust at St. Mary's in Highmore, South Dakota that tears the roof clean off. Where's God's love in that? Why the church? You can take a look at all these things that can be against us, and you can begin to wonder how far away God's love could be. Then Paul asks, who can condemn us? Who can condemn us? Well, imagine this is a courtroom. And we're all going to sit on this side, the lectern side. Why? Because that's where the accused sits. And now the prosecuting attorney is bringing evidence and witnesses against you. The first witness is someone from the cell phone company. He has a record of all the times your face has been stuck onto the screen. Times where you were endangering other drivers. Times where you were neglecting a child who wanted your attention. Times when you were missing an opportunity to pray, to help someone in need. Next witness, a computer technician. He's got all the history of every site you have ever visited on the internet, even the places you should have never been. He adds up all the hours you spend on social media, all the hours you spend surfing the internet, versus all the time that you should be spending getting your work done and developing your relationships. He brings up all your posts and your snaps and all your emails. They're all there on display. And highlighted are the ones where you verbally and angrily tore someone apart or posted something you should have never posted. Next witness. The next witness is a family member. And the words that you spoke to that family member were so hurtful that now what's left is an icy chill in the room when the two of you get together. Then there's the security camera that's caught you. There's the sales clerk that was just trying to be helpful, but you were impatient. You weren't getting what you wanted, and the words that you use, I'll put it politely, ruined the person's day. Then there's the tape recording as evidence. A tape recording. You called up some customer service representative from a business. You weren't happy with how the product was received or how it worked. The representative is just trying to be helpful and do his or her job, but you berated them. Your harsh words, your harsh tone, all the evidence is there. And so, who is the prosecuting attorney? Who is the one that's accusing you of all this stuff? Satan. That is, after all, what his name means. The adversary, the accuser. And he's laid it all out there. And when you begin to see all the accusations and all the condemnation being brought against you, you begin to wonder, how much further away could God's love possibly be? I think there's also the tribulation of the daily grind that wears you down, if I'm honest. Get up, eat, drive, work, or go to school, run errands, study, cook, clean, be with family, get a little, but never much sleep, and get up and do it all over again. And again. And again. And again. There's a burden. There's a deadness. There's a distance. And the worries of life keep piling up, and the stress, and the bills, and the things people want from you. Then there's health concerns, and the cares of getting older. Day by day, inch by inch, yard by yard, grind by grind, you feel the apathy of life. And you look up. Suddenly you see just how far away you seem to be from God's love. I remember an image, a meme, really, that I saw on Facebook not too long ago. The image was of a church, but the words read, "If God seems far away, guess who moved?" Those who are against us, the accusations, the daily grind, they've just seemed to have taken you and I so far away. And then we hear Paul's strange and confident words. "I am sure that nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus." Nothing? What about all those who are against us? And what about the accusations? And what about the daily grind? You know, the tribulation or distress or the persecution, the famine, the nakedness, the danger, the sword. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. You see, dear saints of the living God, for all those things that are against us, God still remains for us. And how do you know? He gave His own Son for you. He gave Him to be crucified for you and for your salvation. And that Son, this Jesus, He graciously and He lovingly gave all that He had. He gave even His very life for you. His back, He gave to be torn apart with whips. His head, He gave to be punctured with thorns. His hands and His feet, He gave them over to be pierced with nails. His ears, He gave them to be filled with mockery and scorn and shame. His voice, He gave to plead for you. As He hung on that cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. His life, He gave it in death for you, so that there would be no condemnation for you who are in Christ Jesus. Satan can accuse you of nothing, because Jesus says, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. If this is the God that you have, a God that is for you and not against you, what can possibly separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? Nothing. You want to see if you are separated from God's love? Behold the life-giving cross on which was hung the salvation of the whole world. Behold the love of God for you in Christ Jesus our Lord. You want to see if you're separated from God's love? Look here and see. The saving flood by which all your sins have been washed away and have drowned and have died. Look and see the waters of baptism through which you passed. You want to see if you're separated from God's love? Look here. Taste and see that the Lord is good, and He is as near to you as this bread and wine, because this is His very body and blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. God is not far from you, dear saints of the living God. He is right here, where He has always promised to be, where two or three are gathered in His name. And that's what we are today. We are gathered in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And this is where He will always be. He has promised it to you. Lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. That's His promise. Remember? At the end of Matthew's gospel, Jesus gives us that promise. He's resurrected. He's soon to ascend to the Father's right hand. And He simply says to His disciples, Lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. Meaning, whatever the daily grind brings, whatever the studies or the eating or the driving or the stress or the worry or the sleeplessness, whatever it is, lo, I am with you always in word and sacrament until the end of the age. And suddenly, I'm not as far off from God's love as I thought I was. God's love is as near to me as coming to church with my fellow Christians. And when I am here, when I dwell in the presence of my Jesus, who loves me and forgives me and strengthens me and sustains me, well, then I, then you, then we, like St. Paul before us, firmly know and firmly believe that nothing will be able to separate us from God's love, which is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.